This week, I'd like to talk about the Tefillah of Ma Toivu. Although I must admit that I probably, in the order of things, I probably would not have chosen to speak about Ma Toivu this week. It would have been probably next week or the week after. But since it's this week's parsha, and it's definitely upcoming, so we'll go to Ma Toivu. When a yid comes into shul in the morning, one is supposed to say, Ma Toivu Oyahalecha Yaakov Mishkan Oysecha Yisrael. How good are your tents, Yaakov, your dwelling places, Yisrael. This pasuk appears in this week's parsha. These are the words of Vilam HaRosha when he was trying to curse Bnei Yisrael, and instead Hashem made blessings come out of his mouth. He said these words, Ma Toivu Oyahalecha Yaakov Mishkan Oysecha Yisrael. How good are your tent Yaakov, your dwelling places Yisrael. The Siporno on this pasuk says that Oyahalecha is referring to the Bate Midrashos, the houses of study. As we find in the pasuk, Yaakov is Tom Yosef Eholim. Yaakov was a perfect person or a simple person dwelling in tents. And as Rashi says over there, he dwelled in the tents of Shem and the tents of Aver. Those were the yeshivas, the study houses. So a halacha is referring to the study houses. Mishkan Oysecha is referring to the Bate Knesios, the houses of prayer. So when we walk into the shul in the morning, whether it's a Beis Medrash or in the Beis HaKnesses, we say this pasuk, Ma Toivu Oyahalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Oysecha Yisrael. The source of this tefillah goes back to the very, very early, the very, very first siddur that ever appeared. It has this tefillah of Ma Toivu Oyahalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Oysecha Yisrael. However, there is a minig among many people not to say this pasuk. And that is why I might not have spoken about this pasuk, because I don't say it either. And the reason the minig is not to say this pasuk is because the Maharshal says not to say it. He said, why should we mention the words of Bilam HaRosh and Shul? These are the words of Bilam. Why should we say them as part of our davening? Now, it happens to be, that's why I saw the Maharshal dismisses it, and he says that he begins with the second pasuk, Mani Barov Chazdecha Ve'Esecha. The next pasuk begins, and I, with your abundant kindness, I enter your house. That's what a yid says when we enter the house of Hashem. However, this Maharshal is very difficult, because there's a Gemara in Masechtas Brachos Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Bikshu Lekvoya Parshas Balak Bekriya Shema, that Chazal wanted to establish that Parshas Balak should be said by Kriya Shema every day. And the reason Chazal say that it was not made part of Kriya Shema is because of Tircha de Tzibura. It's a very long parsha. It's called overexerting the tzibur. So that's why we don't say it. So as the post can ask on the Marshal, why doesn't the Gemara just say, because we don't want to say Bilam's words in shul? Right? So obviously that's not a problem. Now, the Gemara there says, why did they want to establish Parshas Balak and Kriyashma every day? So there are different answers in the Gemara. One says because it says in the Pasuk, Keil Moitziyam Mitzrayim. It says Bilam said, "Kill the God that took them out of Mitzrayim." And since by Kriya Shema we also want to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, so that was the reason why they wanted to put it into Kriya Shema. Another reason the Gemara says is because it says Korah Shachav Kari Yecholavim Yekimenu, talks about going to sleep like a lion and waking up like a young lion. So since that corresponds with B'shachmucho of Kamecha, with the Kriyashma, which is when we go to sleep, when we wake up, so that's why they wanted to establish this in the Kriyashma. But at the end of the day, they didn't make it part of Kriyashma. So this week's parasha could have been part of Kriyashma, and it's not because of Techa de Zibur. But there's something a lot deeper underlying here why Chazal wanted to put it as part of Kriya Shema. What the Gemara is giving us are just excuses. Because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Kari Yecholavim Yekimenu. The real reason is because this is brought in the Poskim. Because if you look into this week's Haftorah, there is actually a mitzvah, Medivrei Kabbalah. There is a commandment in the words of the Navi. The words of Micha. Ami, zechor na ma'yad balak melech mayav. Please remember what Balak, the king of Moav, advised, what he plotted, and what Bilam answered him, in order that we should know Hashem's righteousness. So there's a mitzvah to remember Parshas Balak. So we have, I don't know, many people have say the Sheish Zechirois every day after davening. The six remembrances we're supposed to remember every day. There's a seventh. So, and this is why Chazal wanted to put it as part of Kriya Shema, because there's a mitzvah, Medivrei Kabbalah, Zecharna Mayod Balak, to remember Parshas Balak, to remember what Balak wanted to do, what Bilam wanted to do, and how Hashem transformed it all into a bracha. Says the Sfas that it is for this reason. So although the Chacham says Tircha de Tzibur, we can't do it. But what do you do with the mitzvah? Ami zecharna mayotz bolak. The Navi says to remember. What do we do? Says the Sfas Emes, this is why we say the Pasuk. Matav yodach yakim v'shunesach Yisrael. The reason why we say this Pasuk every day is to fulfill this mitzvah, Medivrei Kabbalah, of remembering Parshas Bolak. So
So, when you say these are, and the Maharshal says that these are, Bilam's words, they're not really Bilam's words. He was just, vessel. These are Hashem's words. He's simply prophecy.
Words, Rashi says we can derive from Bilam's words what he really wanted to say. These were his ideas. They were just Hashem transformed them. So let's try to understand this pasuk now. Let's talk about this pasuk. Matovo yalacha Yaakov mishkanesach Yisrael. Now, indeed, the Sephorno says that one is talking about the Bate Midrashis, the houses of study. One is talking about the Bate Knesios, or yalacha is the houses of study. The mishkanesach is the houses of prayer. But the pasuk does seem redundant, and then there's also a difference in by yalacha it says Yaakov, and by mishkanesach it says Yisrael. Why does the pasuk change? So I'd like to suggest the following. We know that from numerous places in Chazal, and Midrashim, that Yisrael represents the a higher level of Yidden. Yidden that are not Jews that are on a higher level are called Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu himself was called Yisrael once he reached a certain level. Yaakov represents the lower class. Yidden, when we're on a lower level, are called Yaakov. Just in the interpretation of the words, the definition of the words, right? Yaakov comes from the word Ekev, which means a heel. And Yisrael comes from a lashon of sar, of a minister. Right? We're talking about two levels of Yidden here. Perhaps within every Yid, within each and every one of us, there are times of Yisrael and there are times of Yaakov. That is, when we're involved in spirituality, and we're learning Torah, we're davening, we're doing mitzvahs, then we're on a level of Yisrael. And when we're involved in Gashmias, when we're involved in physicality, such as eating and drinking and sleeping and working and all the mundane things that we do, yes, we do them as Jews do them, so that's why we're not Goyim, right? We're Yaakov. At that time, we're not Yisrael, we're Yaakov. So during times of Ruchnias, we're Yisrael. Times of Gashmias, we're Yaakov. The avodah of a Yid is to see to it that when we're involved in Gashmias, that the Gashmias part of our life should be the temporary part of our life. And the Ruchnias, the spirituality, should be our main life. That should be the ikar of our life. The primary focus of our life is Ruchnias, and Gashmias is secondary. Gashmias is temporal. That is how we have to conduct ourselves. And even if the Gashmias takes up the majority of our day, and the Ruchnias is only part of our day, nevertheless, if the Ruchnias is that we look forward to, and we know that this is what we live for, and all the Gashmias is just to prepare ourselves for the Ruchnias, that's fine. That is the way a Yid needs to live their life. Understanding that Gashmias is Arai, is temporal and secondary. Ruchnias is primary and is our main function in life. The difference between an Oyel and a Mishkan is that an Oyel is a tent and an Oyel is temporal. A Mishkan, a dwelling place, is permanent. So as we walk into the shul in the morning, the shul is our main focus in life. The shul is our place of ruchnias. We say, Ma toivu oyhalecho Yaakov mishkanoisecho Yisrael. How beautiful is it when we're involved in Yaakov, it's an oyhal. It's temporal. It's secondary. And when we're involved in areas of Yisrael, of Ruchnias, then it's a Mishkan. Ma'atoyvu oyhalecha, how beautiful is it? How nice is it? When it's oyhalecha Yaakov, that it's an oyhal when it comes to areas of Yaakov, Mishkan oysecha Yisrael, and when it comes to Yisrael, it's a Mishkan. It becomes our primary focus. According to this, we can understand on Sukkot, we say by benching, we say Harachamon Hu Yakim Lanu Esukas David Anifolas. And say Hashem, Harachamon, the compassionate one, you should erect for us the fallen house of David. I'm sorry, the fallen sukkah of David. Now, we need to understand, first of all, why is the... So what is this referring to? What is the fallen sukkah of David? It's the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash is the fallen sukkah of David. Why in the world is the Beis HaMikdash called the fallen sukkah? In benching, earlier we say, Rachim no Hashem lekenu, Hashem have compassion, Al Yisrael no Hashem. While Malchus Beis David Mishichacha. The Beis HaMikdash is called Beis David. It's the house of David. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called all of a sudden called Sukkas David? Why is it called the Sukkah of David? And why do we say this Harachman on Sukkas? Just because we build our Sukkah? And the Beis HaMikdash is called Sukkas David. So that's why, since this is called a Sukkah, that's called a Sukkah, so that's why we ask for this on Sukkahs. That Sukkah is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. And this is referring, the Yantav of Sukkahs has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we ask for this on Sukkahs? But according to what I've explained, we can understand it based on the following. As we mentioned before, every person has primary focus in life and secondary focus in life. Either their primary focus in life is going to be, as we mentioned, the way it should be, which is ruchnis. Spirituality should be the primary focus, and everything else is secondary. Or he's going to make his primary focus in life his gashmius, whether it's his job or his taivas or whatever it is, he's going to make that primary, and ruchnius, spirituality, is going to be secondary. A house similar to a mishkan is permanent. A sukkah similar to an oyel is temporary. The Beis HaMikdash is the place of Ruchnias, right? There's no greater place of Ruchnias than the Beis HaMikdash. As long as we realize that the Beis HaMikdash is Beis David, it's the house of David, that's the way it should be. We should see the Beis HaMikdash as Beis David. The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because we didn't see it as Beis David. We saw it as Sukkas David. We made our own homes the Bayis, and the Beis HaMikdash became the Sukkah. The Beis HaMikdash became the temporary secondary thing. The Ruchnius of our lives became secondary. And that's why the Sukkas David is Nefolas. That's why the Sukkah of David has fallen. Because since we didn't appreciate the Beis HaMikdash, to make it our primary focus in life, we didn't appreciate spirituality as our primary focus, it was taken from us. The Yontif of Sukkos is a Yontif that represents this lesson itself. On Sukkos, we have to eat in the Sukkah and drink in the Sukkah and sleep in the Sukkah. Everything, every Gashmi is the good thing. Anything physical that we do, we're supposed to do in the Sukkah. Learning, davening, anything ruchnius that we do in the shul. We don't do that in the sukkah. To represent that ruchnius needs to be done in the bayis. Everything gashmius belongs in the sukkah. All physical things is secondary, is temporal. It belongs in the sukkah. That is what the yontav of sukkahs represents. That is the lesson that the yontav of sukkahs carries with it. So on Sukkos, when we finally get the message that Ruchnius is supposed to be our bias, it's supposed to be Beis David, not Sukkos David, that's when we ask Hashem Rabbeinu Shalom, we got the message. Harachman, hu yakim lanu es sukkas David anifales. You can now erect that sukkas David that has fallen. Because we realize already that it's not sukkas David. It's based David Meshichach. With this we understand it says in the we say by davening on Yom Kippur, it's mentioned in the Gemara that what was the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies. Kohen Gadol only went in there once a year. What did he pray for? One of the things he prayed for, it was a very, very small prayer, but one of the few things he prayed for was Shlo yikonsu lefanecha tfilos ovrei drachem ve'inyan hagesha. Hashem, I ask you that the prayer of the wayfarer should not accept the prayer of the wayfarer when he prays that the rain should stop. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim has nothing better to daven for than that when a wayfarer is walking along the way and it starts raining and he davens to Hashem that the rain should stop, Hashem, don't listen to him. Why don't you focus on davening that Hashem should listen to everybody else's prayers? And doesn't Hashem know what's best for the world? We have to teach him. We have to tell him, don't accept those tefillahs. There's a famous story that a businessman was once traveling through the city of Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim lived. And he decided he's in Radin, he's going to go visit the Gadol Ador, he's going to go visit the Chafetz Chaim. So he comes into the Chafetz Chaim expecting that the Gadol Ador is going to have nice furniture. It's going to, after all, he is one of the greatest people of the generation. And he walks into the Chafetz Chaim's hut, rundown hut, and all there is a table and a chair. There is nothing. Barren wall. There's no furniture whatsoever. And he couldn't help but look around while he was in the Chafetz Chaim's presence. He was just looking around. He couldn't believe his eyes that a person can live this way. And the Chafetz Chaim realized his bewilderment. And the Chafetz Chaim said to him, "What are you looking for?" So he said, "I'm looking for your furniture." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "Well, where's your furniture?" So he said, "My furniture is at home." So the Chafetz Chaim said, why didn't you bring it with you?" So he said, "Because I'm just a wayfarer now. I don't need my furniture along the way." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm also just a wayfarer." Right? Every yid in this world is a wayfarer. We're just passing through to go to the world to come. What do you need furniture for? So I'd like to suggest that yidden such as those, such Jews as the Chafetz Chaim, are called oivrei drachim. They are called wayfarers. These wayfarers understand that it's better for people, better for Jews, not to have too much physicality. Because when Jews have too much materialism, they make it into their primary focus, and their spirituality becomes secondary. The gashmius becomes their bias, and the ruchnius becomes their sukkah or their oil. So it's better that you, the Jews shouldn't have that much materialism. And that way they'll make their spirituality their primary focus, and their gashmias will be their secondary focus. So these oivrei drachim, these wayfarers, daven, they pray to Hashem that there shouldn't be too much geshem. There shouldn't be too much gashmias for Yidden. Yidden shouldn't have too much materialism, because that's only going to cause that they make Gashmi as their primary focus. They're going to make Gashmi as their Mishkan, their bias, and they're going to make Ruchni as their oil and their sukkah. And these people are tzaddikim of tremendous stature. Their tefillis are dangerous. So we need the Kohen Gadol to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh Rav Yom Kippur and say, Rabbi Nishloilam, Al Yikon to Levanacha Tfilas Avrei Drachim. Don't allow the prayers of these Avrei Drachim to come before you. Don't accept them. Yidden need materialism. Yidden need Gashmias. And despite the Gashmias that we should have, we should still make spirituality our main focus and make the Gashmias our secondary focus. When it comes to Yaakov, it's Oyalecha. When it comes to Yisroel, when it comes to Ruchnias, it's got to be a Mishka. With this, we can understand the pasuk we said in the beginning of Parshas Bukhu Koisai. It says, "In b'chu koisai teilechu, v'es mitzvoisai tishmeru v'asisa moisam." If you will walk in my decrees, and you will observe my mitzvahs and perform them, v'nasati geshmecham v'itam, I'll give the rain in its proper time. And the pasuk goes on to list all the brachas of gashmias, all the brachas of materialism that Hashem will give us. Now, the pasuk seems to be redundant. If you walk in my decrees, and you will observe my mitzvahs and perform them. That seems to say the same thing twice. If you walk in my decrees, means the same thing as performing my mitzvahs and observing them. And why are we walking in his decrees? Why aren't we just observing his decrees? So perhaps, chukosai, my decrees, represents all matters of gashmias. The Gemara says, choik, lishna de mezonehi. Choik is a expression of parnasa. Achlus chukam, the Gemara brings psukim that chayk means parnasa. When it comes to parnasa, we have to understand that we're wayfarers. We're just walking through. Imbuchu koisai teleichu. If when it comes to the matters of parnasa, gashmi is teleichu, you'll understand you're just walking through. When it comes to my mitzvahs, that you will observe and you'll perform, and that will be your primary focus, then I promise you, I'll give you as much gashmias as you need, as much gashmias as you want, as long as it remains your secondary focus. As long as it's Oyalecha Yaakov, and your Yisrael remains Mishkan Yisrael. Another reason, perhaps, why this whole concept is attributed to Yaakov. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach. The pasuk says, Yaakov nasa sukkos. Yaakov traveled to sukkos. Vayiben loy boyis. He built for himself a house. Ulemekneu asa sukkos. And for his livestock, he made sukkos. He made huts. Yaakov did exactly what we're talking about. Vayiben loy for himself, for everything that Yaakov Avinu represented, which is Ruchnias, he made a bayis. He made a permanent house. Ulemekneu for his livestock asa sukkos. He made huts for them, for that, because they have a secondary to him. Yaakov led the way. That's why it's Ma Toivo Elacha Yaakov Mishkanei Sacha Yisrael. How beautiful is it when the oil is made for the temporary hut, is made for the areas of Yaakov, of Gashmias, and Mishkanei Sacha for Yisrael. Perhaps another understanding of this pasuk, Matoiva Yalacha Yaakov Mishkanisacha Yisrael, we can understand based on very known Chazal. In Rashi brings it in Parshas Yisroi. And the pasuk Koseima the Beis Yaakov, Vesagad Bnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov and relate to Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi, Beis Yaakov Elu HaNashim. Beis Yaakov are the women. And Bnei Yisrael are the Anashim, are the men. So Yaakov is a reference to women. Yisrael is a reference to the men. There's a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse. The pasuk says, Hashem, your God, walks within your camp. And therefore your camp shall be holy. Where is it? V'lo yidu b'chay erev azdavar. No erva so that he will not see a shameful thing among you and turn away v'shav me'acharecha and turn away from behind you. So the Torah HaKadosh tells us clearly that Rabbeinu Shel Olam dwells among us. Hashem dwells among us. However, if there is erva, if there is a lack of tznius, then Hashem turns away from us. If there's a lack of modesty, Hashem turns away from us. And there are halachas that pertain to the way when we daven, right? When one cannot daven in a place where there is a lack of modesty. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayera when the angels came to Avraham Avinu to visit him, they asked him, Aye Sara Ishtecha, where is your wife Sara? And Avraham Avinu answered, Hine ba'oihel, she's in the tent. And we derive from that pasuk that she was very modest. So oihel, the tent, represents modesty. If not for the modesty of the women, we would not have Hashem dwelling among us. Matoivu oihalecha Yaakov. How beautiful is it when the Yaakov ilu hanoshim, when Yaakov the women, as Rashi says, when there is modesty among the women, because then Mishkanei Secha Yisrael, because then Hashem dwells among Yisrael, then Hashem dwells among us, and we can actually daven. So as we enter the shul in the morning, we want to daven. We have to make sure that where we are is a modest place. And that's why we immediately say, Matoivu oihalecha Yaakov, Mishkan oisecha Yisrael. The Mishkan oisecha Yisrael is dependent upon, Hashem dwelling among Yisrael is dependent upon oihalecha Yaakov, the modesty of the women. Chiddush Arim says that Yaakov represents modesty. as we mentioned before, Yaakov comes from the word eke, which is the heel. The pasuk says, "Eshkoin Ezdaka." Hashem says, "I dwell among the humble." So, Matoivu Oyhalecha Yaakov. How good is it when there is humility among Klal Yisrael? Because then Mishkan Yisachar Yisrael, that makes Hashem, makes it that Hashem should dwell among Yisrael, because Hashem dwells among the humble. Another interpretation of this pasuk. We have started this, but we'll try. There's a Chassam Sofer that talks about the in Parshas Vayishlach, where Yaakov Avinu wrestles with the Sar Shel Esav. He wrestles with the minister of the angel of Esav, which is the Satan. And finally, Yaakov overpowers the Satan, and he tells the Satan to bless him. The Satan says to him, "Lo yikara yad shimcha Yaakov, your name should no longer be Yaakov. Kiyim Yisrael Yeshmecha, your name should only be Yisrael." So some servers bothered. What a beautiful bracha coming from the Satan. Why would the Satan want Yaakov's name to be Yisrael only? As we mentioned, yeah, Yisrael comes from the word of Sar, of greatness, whereas Yaakov comes from it's an expression of lowliness, a heel. On the other hand, later on in Parshas Vayishlach, Hashem says to Yaakov, "Shimcha Yaakov, your name remains Yaakov." And Chazal derived from that even though Hashem himself said that your name should be Yisrael, nevertheless, Yaakov's name, unlike Avram's name, that once it was changed, remained only Avram, Yaakov's name, even after it was changed to Yisrael, remains Yaakov also. So Yaakov has both names, Yaakov and Yisrael. So, did the Satan care about Yaakov more than Hashem did? Because the Satan says to Hashem, "Your name should only be Yisrael, not Yaakov." And Hashem says, "No, we're going to keep both." Why? And the Chassam Sofer says that history has shown us that when Yidden are on the top for too long, when we're Yisrael for too long, the Satan gets a hold of us. The pasuk says, "Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat." When things go too well for us for too long of a time, we forget where all the goodness comes from, and we start deserting Hashem's ways. So there always has to be a fallback to a level of Yaakov. Meaning, when we're persecuted, when we're on a low level, when the nations of the world trample upon us, that's when we're called Yaakov, when we're the heel. When we're on the top, then we're called Yisrael. Every certain period of time, when we get to the point that we start forgetting where our goodness comes from, that Hashem is the one giving us the goodness, then Hashem drops us back to a level of Yaakov. And that has preserved Klal Yisrael for all generations. There has to be the balance between Yaakov and Yisrael. If it's Yisrael only, that's when the Satan gets a hold of us. And that's why the Satan wants us to only be Yisrael. Because if we're only Yisrael, he has us in his hands. The Rebbeinu Shlomo understands we need both. The Rebbeinu Shlomo knows our nature. We have to have Yaakov and Yisrael. However, when the pasuk in V'zois HaBrach talks about the time of Mashiach. It says, Vayishkoin Yisrael Betach Bodov. By the time of Mashiach, Yisrael will dwell by itself forever. Because then the revelation of Hashem's kavod will be so apparent. It won't be possible for us to forget where all that goodness is coming from. So, as we mentioned before, Oyalecha, a tent, represents something temporal. It represents poverty. Whereas Mishkan Oisecha represents a dwelling place, a respectable dwelling place, which is more in line with Yisrael. So we say, Matoivu Oyalecha Yaakov Mishkan Oisecha Yisrael. It's beautiful that we have both the Oyalecha Yaakov and the Mishkan Oisecha Yisrael, because that is what preserves us throughout all the generations. May we all be zeichet to the time of Vayishkoin Yisrael Betach Bodod, it should be Yisrael once and for all, secure and forever, and we should always remember that the Rebbeinu Shlalom is the one that supplies us and the one that bestows upon us all of the goodness that we have.